Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You still smell of booze, Mr. David, after that glorious day.
Good morning,
day,
Mully. Do I? Can you smell it from there?
It's across the studio.
Yeah, it's a stench of winning. That's
yes.
What it is.
Dustin, did you crack one open as you watched? It was difficult not to.
It was daytime.
You know, believe it or not, I did not. I was really disappointed. I wanted to have one.
It was about 2 o'clock.
We had an immediate Fly the W podcast. We took care of business. Had a lot of parenting yesterday. Lots of driving. Lots of picking up, dropping off.
Well, that's okay. The Cubs celebrated enough for everybody.
Boy,
they had a festive throwdown in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
They unleashed some. They definitely had a party,
and deservedly so, right? There was some on social media, of course, that thought it was a little too much.
I had some people approach me about that, but I don't think that it was too much. I think it definitely you're entitled.
Jason Tyon told us they were going to do that.
Yes, Ian
Happ did too. I was ready for it. You know,
I think everybody should have been.
Yeah,
I don't begrudge them that. It's a long season, and it has been a long time.
Keep your shirt on, I would say.
Well, they could. Hey, if they want to disrobe, disrobe. You got to.
Really? I thought for sure you were going to have a problem with the shirtless PCA, like you used to have a problem with shirtless Jake Arrieta.
I don't. Well, that was for show. I don't think PCA was just that was youthful exuberance.
What was Turner doing?
Celebrating 2 RBIs.
No, I'm saying without a shirt on.
That's nuts.
I do wonder how Daniel Palencia feels this morning. Goodness sakes.
Yeah, I mean, a guy who's not participating.
But he had a lot to do with this.
Absolutely. But, I mean, his health isn't. I mean, they need to. I was just worried. He looked like a guy when I was watching Marquis. I had Zach Patton, you know, Ron in my back pocket as usual. But he's like looking like he's about. He can't wait to go storm the field.
It's like, I know.
Slow down, man. I know it's your shoulder, not your legs. But just be careful, you know. Be careful.
I think when you look at all that they have been through, and it is only getting a seat at the table.
You're
walking into, you know, a postseason that is full of possibility. You have to celebrate that, and you have to understand that they have been, you know, I think Craig Counsell, when he came on the postgame show, he was great talking with Pat, Zach, and Ron about, you know, Japan was tough.
That was my takeaway, that Japan was a lot worse than anyone has talked about.
Right, and that started a long time ago.
That's right.
And it's been a slog of a season. They come in hot, they really level off, they go through they had to endure hearing about how the Brewers are having the best season in baseball.
The Brewers did have the best season.
I know.
I mean, God, the Brewers got hot.
Cubs are on pace. If they finish 5-5, they're going to have 93, 94 victories.
It's incredible. It's great.
And they still, they came into the season, we thought, 90 would be a good season? They've exceeded expectations in terms of a victory total. I think a lot of people are reacting to the fact that, you know, they are in second place. It's a wild card thing. But, hey, party on. They can celebrate that. They're professionals. They'll be ready to go today. And if they're not, it's only one day.
It was very funny because at one point, I think it was Taylor McGregor was interviewing Dansby Swanson. And they were drowning Dansby Swanson with booze as it was going on. And he was saying,
the great thing about this team, these guys are, and he just gets attacked and there's booze everywhere, and he kind of pops back up and he like smiles at her. Oh, here, listen.
Danzy, when you came here as a free agent, you kept saying you just want to win. When you reflect back to all the prayer and the time and thought to sign here in Chicago for moments like this, what does it mean to you?
I just couldn't be more proud of this group. Just everything we've talked about all year, everything that we've accomplished, just... Let me maintain my composure. This group really is amazing. I know that this group's so incredible at.
Yeah, you.
At being professional.
That's pretty good.
It was That's pretty very good. Funny.
She was very funny. She that got was she made the rounds in that clubhouse.
Yeah. Great.
And they were prepared for that. And I don't have a problem with it. I'm surprised some people did.
He couldn't get the word, whatever word he was going
professional.
For.
Professional.
He settled for professional. Professional. This group was good and he kept getting boozed up. I mean, they're just pouring it all over him.
They have now, I think, the magic number for hosting the wild card series, I think, is 6 with 10 games to go.
Do you pop another bottle for that?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
If you won the division. I think if you were able to win the division, I think you'd pop a cork for that. But that was the celebration.
Yeah, because if you win the division, it means you've cut down a 5-game lead with 10 games to go.
Yes.
But all you get, in all seriousness, is you get a different hat. Like, because they're not going to be the top seed. Right.
Yeah, but if they beat the Brewers, you get an extra bye.
Yeah.
You don't have to play right away. There's value in that.
There's great value in that.
Yes.
Seeing the teams like the rest versus rust factor.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. It's fair. Now, look, if they come out against the Padres, assuming it will be the Padres, they have the home field advantage. And I think Craig Counsell will know what to do and how to go into the postseason. He's done this before. The rust versus rest factor will be something, but...
And this is the guy that wasn't there, the guy that didn't celebrate. Kyle Tucker left for Tampa, I guess before the game started. They said...
I found that very strange, and maybe I'm overstating that. I don't want to say very strange. I found it unfortunate because, number one, it's a concern that he's leaving the team to go get his personal... team on this in Tampa, understand and respect
PT
that.
Guys.
Yeah, it's physical therapy guy.
Yeah.
I can understand that. At the same time, this is somebody who has been there since the beginning. He was in Japan and through the slog of a season. And if I were going to Tampa for my own guys and I had 11:45 first pitch.
You would wait and then celebrate and go to Tampa.
I might have. And the fact that he didn't. I don't know what that means, if it means anything at all.
It means every second counts. I would have been very dissatisfied if he went after the game.
Really? I had the opposite effect.
Just like Jalen Johnson, when I gave Jalen Johnson a hard time for going out to dinner and not, you know, focusing on his rehab a year or two ago. I want to stay consistent.
I don't know what 6 hours is going to make a difference.
Everything.
6 hours?
Sure, yeah.
Wouldn't that mean, too, with him not... You know, being there with the team. I know he's trying to get himself together for the playoffs, but also his future ahead. So it's kind of like him being disconnected with the team.
That's what I mean.
That everything about this
he's
is
telling
the
you,
future.
That was a bonding experience.
Of course it was. And he is, Dustin says every second counts, and he couldn't be a part of it. Or maybe he's been a part of these before, and he knows he's not going to be a part. He'll be a part of one in the playoffs, but he knows... He's not going to be here for years partying. I mean, there you go.
That
has to be in the back of your mind.
It was.
When you consider that he's left the team to go see his own guys.
It's not in the back of PC. It's not in the back of your mind.
And we know he's got to try to get back, but he also has to make sure that if he winds up re-injuring himself with a more serious injury that could impact what is going to be the greatest economic off season of
and
his life.
And as you say that, I have to watch a highlight of Cody Bellinger hitting a homer. I have a bellyache.
That was funny. You said that when we were exchanging.
But the thing is, the first that's not in the back of your mind. That's the first reaction you have, I think, as a Cub fan. You hear about Kyle Tucker leaving the team for his own physical therapist down in Tampa. He's being accompanied by a Cub representative, and that's good. But I do think it is foreboding.
It's very foreboding. And when you hear Craig Counsell, when he talked about it, he used the word plateaued. Listen to what he said.
Kyle Tucker is traveling to Tampa this morning with a member of our medical staff to receive additional treatment on his calf. We're aligned with Kyle, and this is the best way for him to make some improvements. Unfortunately, we plateaued and we weren't making progress, and that's frustrating for Kyle and. You know, that's the concern about getting him back, this soon, right? He had some success with this group last year in Houston when he had a leg injury as well. And so, you know, we're hoping for the same success and hoping to get him back on the field. He'll rejoin the team on the homestand in Chicago.
12 days until the playoffs begin. And Kyle Tucker has probably realistically a week before you need to see him back getting at bats. Now, you could make the argument that it's Kyle Tucker, so if he is ready to go on September 29th and he gets cleared, you'd put him back in the lineup and on the playoff roster. And I think that would be the thing I would do. But you'd like to see him back sooner rather than later, within a week. So that gives you a week to see some results that you haven't been able to get.
Look, the reality is that Craig Counsell said it. You know, he needs to play in order to get to the playoffs, right? They want him back and they want him playing before he gets to the playoffs. And the other element is, you know, there's no minor league stint available in another week.
Mm-mm.
The minor league season ends, so it's not like he can go down there for rehab. And, you know, I guess when you look at it, would have been great had he been there, but you know, what if they ended up losing that game and it was like, I could have been there already. Yeah, I'm just saying, I know they were going to win, and I knew they were going to have a party, and they were all ready for
it. Yeah, look, it's not a major thing. I just said that was a reaction of mine. You had an opportunity to have, if you viewed that celebration as appropriate and an opportunity for them to celebrate and come together and have that kind of moment that defined this season or represented a joyous celebration of the season. The fact that Kyle Tucker wasn't there is unfortunate, and to me, it might be telling about his relationship with the organization.
And what else is telling is, you know, if we can't play all of the Craig Counsell stuff, and I'm not asking for it, I'm just saying, one of the things he said, it was his idea. Like, they didn't say, hey, we plateaued, why don't you go to your rehab guys in Tampa?
No.
That was all, he's calling the shots.
Because it worked last year.
Yes, it worked last year. He had a shin injury in Houston, apparently did it last year. But whatever the case is, he's calling the shots. And I mean, he'll call the shots. I'm sure he wants to play in the playoffs. I'm sure he wants to be back and all that. But he also can't afford... And I mean, you know, he can afford it. He'll get tons of dough, but you want to be at your best when you hit free agency. It's something to consider.
It is something to consider. Let's play prisoner of the moment speculation here.
Yeah.
So let's say Kyle Tucker is not available to the Cubs because his injury does not get any better. And you go into the postseason and your lineup is what it was yesterday. Seiya Suzuki's in right field and Moises Ballesteros is batting fourth as your designated hitter. How much worse are you if Ballesteros goes into the postseason with a hot bat?
I like Ballesteros, and I would maybe play him anyway over Seiya, depending on whether his bat heats up, right?
Yeah, and the matchup.
And the matchup, yeah, lefty-righty, handedness again. But I would be heartily disappointed if Kyle Tucker isn't able to get back.
Same.
But it's also his call.
Same.
Yeah. It is. I'm just saying.
In what way is it his call?
if he deems, like, I can sit here and say, you know, a 70% Kyle Tucker is better than having Saya play right field.
I would think that.
Okay.
I want 70% Kyle Tucker trying to gimp his way through the postseason. I want to see full Kirk Gibson here.
But if 70% Kyle Tucker is going to get more injured as a result of it, or his people tell him, oh, no, I wouldn't push it, whatever it might be.
It's the postseason.
Dude,
what are you saving yourself for?
Free agency.
Okay.
His contract expires at the end of the year, and we've talked about the idea of getting $500 million. Come on now.
He's not getting that.
Okay.
He's not getting that.
Let me ask you. If he pops something in his leg and he has to undergo surgery, what's he getting?
Okay.
These are concerns for him, not for the team.
6-3-0. That's a stupid take, David. What if the Cubs go on a 3-day losing streak? Is he supposed to stick around until they win? No, I'm not saying that.
I also do have a 630 area code, but I didn't want to go that far. Every second counts, David.
He could have waited until after the game. This is not saying you delay your physical therapy. Guys, we're talking about 4 hours here for an opportunity to have a moment with your teammates that you've been around since you went to Japan. It's not a big deal either.
You have the flight log. Do you know when he left exactly? Oh, I mean, we're getting out of 4 hours versus 6 hours.
Am I wrong to assume that he's just taking a cab to Milwaukee Airport and a private jet to Tampa? I feel like if that's the case,
he could have. As far as we know, he woke up in Tampa yesterday.
Yes.
Right. I mean, and seriously, he woke up in Tampa yesterday. He's heading down there this morning.
Right. So I mean, he may have left. Right.
I'm saying is a full day.
I don't think
full
he's day flying of rehab. Commercial. Is my know, point.
Right. I'm saying a full day of rehab, though. I'm saying if you kept him around so that he got to celebrate.
I don't care about the details. The big picture thing is, I'm saying you have Kyle Tucker, whose relationship with the organization is something we have studied and speculated about and broken apart every day of this season.
It's very true.
And when you have a moment like that that passes and he's not part of it, it's not insignificant and it's not stupid.
No, it's not stupid. It's not insignificant. And it does indicate, to me anyway, that he's headed to free agency and he's going to take the contract from the highest bidder. It's not like he loves Chicago so much he wants to hang around.
They have bigger issues right now. They'll get him back or they won't. Matthew Boyd needs a rest. They probably should skip him a start.
Would you prepare as if when you're putting together your – I mean, they haven't gotten to this point yet, but when you're making your roster for the playoffs, when you're having that meeting – let's say in a half a week, whatever it is, do you prepare for the postseason without him?
Because, I think you have to have two plans.
Because he's uncertain.
You have to have two plans. Yeah, you have one with Tucker and one without him. He may have to sit out the first series against the Padres.
We don't know.
And you know, you talk about postseason examples and past postseason experiences. Yep. I don't think that Kyle Schwarber joined the Cubs in the 2016 postseason until the World Series. I mean, and he got at bats, remember, down out in Arizona in some form or fashion. It might have been the Fall League. And maybe Kyle Tucker is a guy that joins you later, but he needs, I think, for the Cubs to have legitimate World Series aspirations, and they should go into the postseason thinking that Kyle Tucker has to be healthy for you. So whatever it takes to get him back in the lineup, batting second, playing right field, or DHing, I think you want to do that.
Yeah, it was a weird kind of, and I'm sorry we had to talk about it, but it's a big story. We'll be talking about it all morning. But it was the only shadow, the only pall over the whatever the experience was yesterday. I thought it was great. I thought it was so much fun to see everybody. I thought Craig Counsell let his hair down a little.
He did. He had fun. I thought it was emotional for Ian Happ, and that struck you immediately.
Great. Wasn't that something?
Right on the field, Taylor McGregor did a terrific job of getting Ian Happ, the longest tenured Cub, and he really was fighting back his emotion.
Yeah. And he
I can feel the emotion from you. What do you think brings that up?
It's a long season. Yeah. And you get really close to these guys. You spend a lot of time. And for the guys that are getting back, it's always special, and to give these young guys a taste of it, it's going to be really, really cool. And you hear the fans, we're in Pittsburgh, and It means a lot to them.
There are a lot of fans there right behind the dugout. You could hear them. And Ian Happ has been here a while. And Ian Happ was here when, you know, this is the completion, really. I know they're just making the postseason, but it culminates a rebuild. They yes, traded everybody away in 2021. Yep. The great purge with Chris Bryant crying in the dugout, Anthony Rizzo on his way to New York, Javi Baez leaving town. And they bottomed out. And in 2023, David Ross got fired for winning 83 games and choking in September. And last year, you thought Craig Council was going to do it. They won 83 games, and you doubted him because of it. This is a culmination of a rebuild. And finally, they're back in the postseason where they belong.
Happer, also a guy that, like, you know, it's kind of strange. He's had this the most emotional last couple of weeks. Like, he seemed kind of emotional with the Rizzo thing, a friend of his going through that. Then you have this moment where he's so emotional and he spoke to the team in the locker room. I mean, I just think I think that guy is, he's like got that Cub for life attitude. He's got that loves being here. I mean, it was cool.
It was really cool to see. I heard him referred to yesterday as the longest tenured Chicago sports athlete.
Is he really?
Is he of all the teams, has he been the guy that has been here longer than anybody else? I believe that probably is true.
Probably true.
Cairo Santos is probably the longest tenured Bear. I think he predates Santos. I don't think there's any Bulls to speak of.
No.
Happ was here before Kobe White arrived. Blackhawks, they're too young to have anybody who's been here for more than a few years. And I don't think the Sox have anybody who has outlasted Ian Happ. Ian Happ was here.
Oh, he's here forever.
You know, he came up. Wasn't he on the last playoff team in 2018?
They sent him back down, and he came back.
He threw some things around the office, and then went to Iowa, and he came back from Madden to Ross to Council. Yeah, he's been through it all.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah, it is the culmination of a rebuild, and it was fun to see the antics in the locker room. It was just cool, you know, and I'm sure – As Jameson Taillon told us yesterday, it's a professional team, and they'll be fine, and they'll be ready to go. And I mean, it's very rare when you kind of let your hair down a little bit during the season. But when you do, you kind of make sure that you're at your best when it matters most.
Yeah, right? And they'll be fine.
I think they'll be fine.
This is a team that, you know, it was a day game. It wasn't a long flight. They're in Cincinnati. They'll play the Reds, who are going to be playing for something. They'll be scratching and clawing their way, trying to stay.
And we should mention that Ian Happ has whatever that number is in Pittsburgh. He, like, owns that ballpark 37 straight.
That's an incredible statistic.
That is unbelievable.
He has been on base every game for the last 37 at PNC Park in his hometown.
Yeah, that's a record. It's incredible. He also always plays well against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
Where he went to college.
You got the emotion of this thing and the party. You got the homecoming, and now you got your.
I bet you it's been a great week at Connect Roasters. I bet you it has been. All the coffee flowing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Gordon bring you 5 topics of their mind today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got 5 on.
It's time for 5 on it. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody at Hallis Hall. Question number one. Can the Chicago Cubs win the World Series?
It's probably not happening.
Dang.
I'm sorry to be that person. I know you make it to the playoffs and then anything can happen. Prove me wrong. But in a National League that we know is absolutely stacked with talent, I said this before and I'll say it again. Typically, you want to be able to time out slumps when it comes to hitting. And when more teams have hitters who can be more consistent as a team to go from point A to B, which is getting a win, than your team has, then that's usually the answer. It can't be the Pirates in the first round of the playoffs. You can't keep playing the same teams that, help you win these games.
That would be helpful, the Pirates.
Would be helpful if the Pirates were magically a playoff team and the Cubs could sweep them in a playoff. That doesn't mean that it can't happen. But in the playoffs, then you're asking for that same result of chance to happen over and over again. And I mentioned the 2018 Nationals. People forget that that was one of the career years for Max Scherzer, for example. At that point, they still had Juan Soto. So when you put all of that together and consider what they did have to make it out of the wild card at the time, and they didn't have to play a multiple game series, then that explanation gets a little bit easier. But has the playoff changed, as we've pointed out? Yes. And that means you need more talent up and down your lineup and in your pitching staff. And unfortunately, when we have more questions and answers about some of these guys, thrilled they've made it into the playoffs. We still don't know what's going on with Kyle Tucker. So all of that said, World Series to me is not a likely possibility.
I think it can happen. I think they can.
Yeah, it can happen.
Yeah, wasn't that the question? Did I read the question wrong?
First question here on 5 on it. Can the Cubs win the World Series?
Yeah, can the Cubs? Yeah, theoretically. But is that's not really your take, though.
No, I'm saying the Cubs can win the World Series, and here's why.
The Bears can win the Super Bowl. That is a possibility.
No. Let me just. Those are two very different things. First of all, to win the Super Bowl or to win the World Series, you have to make the playoffs. The Bears, probably not making the playoffs. The Cubs, they are in the tournament. They will play for a chance to survive and advance a three-game series. And I think, as I look around the league, I know a lot of people are saying the Dodgers are the Dodgers. Yes, they are. But I've seen the Dodgers lose in the playoffs before when they were favorites. I like this idea that the Padres catch the Dodgers. Because if that happens, you get the Dodgers at your place for three games. And if you can't win a three-game series against the Dodgers with all the games at your place, you weren't going to win anyway.
Let's be realistic here. The ace of your playoff rotation can only throw 75 to 80 pitches at a time. That's all he's allowed to do.
How many pitches do you think the Dodgers pitchers are going to be throwing?
It doesn't. The amount of arms that they have outweighs the amount of Cubs trusted arms.
Listen, I'm very interested to find out what would happen if the Dodgers and the Cubs play in a short series. So yes, the Cubs can win the World Series if Kyle Tucker comes back. If Kyle Tucker comes back and is healthy. Now, he can't come back game one of the playoffs. He needs to probably come back a couple of games in the regular season just to get the rust off.
See how you already have to qualify? That's why I said
what
I said.
He wasn't hurt.
But all of it. You see how many ifs and buts and candy and nuts just had to occur there?
Yes. Thank you for taking me back to middle school with that one.
Number two.
Well, here's a question that's making me sad and giving me September stress personally as a Cubs fan. Is left-hander Matthew Boyd pitching his way out of the playoff rotation?
Unfortunately, the answer to that might be yes. You know, that might be a case where he becomes a long relief guy because his ERA for the month of September is 6. And that's a problem. And unfortunately, it was one that really started to show itself, I'd say, in the last half of last month. You know, he started out the month facing the Orioles where he gave up 0 runs. Then it was 3 to the St. Louis Cardinals, 2 to the Toronto Blue Jays. That was a 2-1 loss that I wish the Cubs could have gotten. 6-4 win. He gave up all 4 earned runs in that one. At San Francisco in a 5-2 loss, he gave up 5 earned runs. And in a 6-5 loss to Colorado on the 31st of August, he had given up 4. You see where the mistakes are. And unfortunately, I think there also might be some fatigue there. He is 34 years old. So that might be the case. I'd rather have this pattern emerge now than later so you can figure it out for the future. But there has to be some sort of addressing of what he's going to bring to your team at what times in the playoffs.
Only once has Matthew Boyd thrown more than the 174 and a third innings that he's already thrown this season in a regular season. That was back in 2019 in Detroit when he threw 185 and a third innings. Now, the difference between those 2 years is back in 2019, he led the American League in home runs given up with 39. He's only given up 18 bombs this year. His whip is 1.107. But here's why I don't think he's necessarily pitching himself out of the playoff rotation. It comes down to this: home away splits. At home, Matthew Boyd is 11-1 with a 2.45 ERA. Away, he's 2-7 with a 3.90 ERA. At home, batting average against is 215, OPS against is 597. Away, that batting average against rises to 259 with an OPS, 718. It's a little too high. Where are the Cubs playing if things ended today? Where would they be playing their first three games? Wrigley, where Matthew Boyd is much, much better. So that's why I think Craig Counsell, based on what I've seen from him, I believe that he would let Matthew Boyd still be one of the playoff guys. Now, if not him, then Jameson Taillon, depending on what he does here in the last 10 games, could overtake him. But I see Matthew Boyd right now as being the guy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time. What do you think of Tommy? What's your relationship like with Tommy Hotovy? As David said, we talk to him all the time. I'm always learning stuff from him. Really enjoy his perspective. Yeah.
I love Tommy. You know, just walks that perfect fine line of former player who also is extremely forward thinking and open to new ideas, open to learning. Doesn't think he has all the answers. Like, there's no ego. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And just watching him evolve and become the best version of himself as a pitching coach has been awesome. And on the side, too, he's just a great dude away from the field. Like, we love talking about our card collections and TV shows and little stuff like that.
And the Chiefs. Of course, the Chiefs.
And the Chiefs. Well, yeah, I might talk some smack on the Chiefs.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always fun to talk to Tommy Hotovy. The Cubs pitching coach joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Tommy, we had Jameson Taillon on yesterday before the victory, the big celebration, and he said lovely things about you. Congratulations on a great season and getting that moment. That was great stuff. Welcome again, Tommy.
Oh, guys, thanks for having me. It's, I was talking about it a little bit yesterday with the guys. Just for me, it's kind of a full circle journey from the 2015 wild card celebration in that same clubhouse when Jake Arrieta was an absolute monster and we won that game against the Pirates. And it's just like, for me, just thinking that was 10 years ago, to be able to go back and celebrate a new team, a new vision, was really special for me personally in that moment.
10 years since the Arrieta moment at PNC Park, and 4 years since basically the great trade-off when Rizzo and Baez and Bryant left town and the rebuild really began in earnest, Tommy. And I think that's why the celebration was what it was. It seemed almost like cathartic for a lot of Cub fans and probably felt like, you said, the culmination of a lot of hard work. Yeah, I have to ask you, though, as a result of the celebration, how's Daniel Palencia today?
I'll tell you what, he's feeling great. He had an early morning flight this morning to Iowa. He's pitching Saturday in a rehab game, so we made sure he got a couple, you know, a day extra recovery, you know, for that outing. But he was great. Those guys earned that moment. They earned it, and there's a lot of people. There's a lot of guys in that room that have never gone through something like that. The baseball is a long season. It's a grind. You hear, you know, all the cliches and the things that everybody talks about. But when you look up at the end of the day and you've played, you know, 150 plus games, and you're going to win, you know, 88, 89, 90 games, like that's a great accomplishment. And we know we're still not done. And one important thing that Council talked about yesterday is like we are going to host games at Wrigley Field in the wild card. Like that is our ultimate goal now. Well, obviously we still think we can do stuff and hope we can catch the Brewers and win the division. But in the end, like we are going to be playing games at home in Wrigley in the postseason. We know we're really good there and we're going to be tough to beat in that environment.
You know, there's so many great stories and so many great guys to talk about. What stands out to you about this season? It was interesting because Craig Council said something like, that trip to Japan was, you know, it was a great time, but that was really tough. And then to come back the way you have, what jumps out to you in your mind about this year to this point?
Yeah, I think, you know, it started in Japan. I know we didn't win the two games, and I said this yesterday, that it still brought – it's an experience you get to share with a bunch of other people you're going to spend the entire season with. Like that, you can't really put a price tag on what that means for the group. And guys got to know each other. They got to know each other's families. We got to spend, you know, some really good time together. And that kind of set the foundation. And then for me, just thinking about the year and some of the seasons guys have had, just highlighting a few, like, you know, for Matt Boyd to go, you know, on the run that he's been on this year after being, you know, battling injuries and then having ups and downs, and to get to 180 innings, you know, in the season is pretty special. And two guys in particular at the back end of the bullpen, like Brad Keller and Caleb Thielbard, have, you know, just absolute rebound seasons from where they were, you know, the last couple of years. Yeah. And emergence of Danny Palencia, you know, pitching some big moments at the back end of the game. And then obviously, you know, when you lose a guy like Justin Steele, and I text Justin yesterday because I was like, dude, you're – yeah, I wish you could be here with us because you're such a huge part of like why we are where we are, and people forget about that, what Justin was able to do over the last few years to kind of set the foundation again for our rotation and what we want to do, and adding Shota, there's a reason why like Cade Horton can come in and have success, and it's because guys like Justin Steele have done it before him. And when you have those guys that can help each other, support each other, can lead the way, he should have been there with us. And I texted him after the game and he was really appreciative of that. But, you know, for me, those are some big things that stand out. And then you talk about the year that Cade's had, to come up and just absolutely dominate, not missing a beat. Those are all things for me that have just been really fun, you know, to watch play out this year.
Cade Horton has been dominant, Tommy, and I think there's been a lot of conversation about where he lands in your playoff rotation. I know you guys will discuss that, but leading up to that, it appears that he'll be skipped this weekend in Cincinnati, maybe pitched next week early. What are the plans for Cade Horton moving forward, and is all of this in preparation for getting him to the playoffs and maybe having a different threshold once the postseason arrives?
Yeah, I think, you know, right now we're just trying to reevaluate where we want to slot guys in terms of starting in the postseason, and then obviously managing the workload what we can here this last week and a half. Like, I think it's important, like, of not giving guys too much rest, but also finding a way to continue to push these guys to finish strong, because we don't want to back off. Like, we know we're going to play some really important games. We got the Reds and Mets coming up, you know, for the next seven games, both teams trying to make a, you know, a big playoff run here as well. So we're going to be in some big games, into big moments. But, you know, for Cade, continue to push him. We've started bumping his pitch count over the last couple of games. He threw 80, I think 85, two starts ago, and was at 80 last game. So, you know, trying to build him up just a little bit now as we get into the playoffs.
It was the other day on the broadcast, Jim DeShays said something along the lines of, you know, don't be surprised, or hopefully the Cubs could double up some of their starters. If you started Matthew Boyd in the first game, you could have Cade Horton come in and he could pitch for it, whatever. And he talked about using Horton out of the bullpen. It was like the apple of discord in mythological terms. It was thrown in here, and David, your head kind of blew up, and we had like a huge argument about all of it. Are you guys contemplating, not necessarily with Cade, although that would be great if you answered, but just this idea of a short series and using multiple players in different roles?
Well, yeah, on the Cade note, like, I could also be coaching third base. You know, you never know what can happen.
But let's try everything.
I wouldn't advise it, but I do think, like, in a three game series, obviously you're only going to need three starters. So you're going to have the opportunity to have, some starters available in the bullpen. We'll obviously talk through what that's going to look like as we get closer. But you know, for me, you know, Cade starting, he's proven that he can go up against anybody there, and we'll just have to determine kind of how we want to line up the guys heading into that series.
That makes all the sense in the world, Tommy. That makes all the sense in the world. So thank you.
I knew David would like that.
Thank you, Tommy. I appreciate that. I'm curious also because I really like the way that in Daniel Palencia's absence, because he was locking down the ninth inning and he was your closer. You talked about having faith in that. He's been injured and hopefully he can get back in time. But it's been kind of a committee approach. And I thought just when I felt like Kittredge was falling into that ninth inning role, he had three saves in 4 days or so, locking down the ninth. The other day, he comes in the seventh. Keller finishes the ninth. Was that just an example of how versatile these veterans who you have come to rely upon can be?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you don't get that way, or you don't get to that place as a bullpen without buy-in from the guys that are down there. And I say that because I think people take for granted just how bullpens are formed. When you look around the league right now, you can just see the fluctuation, the ups and downs of how bullpens are performing. And when you communicate with players, like what you're trying to accomplish, when they're bought in, they have buy-in of when they're going to be pitching and understanding why, then it makes things a lot smoother. And I think for us, it's like a foundation. I think Kittredge is going to have probably the toughest right-handed pocket. Diobar is probably going to have one of the toughest left-handed pockets. And then Keller, we're just like, we're putting you against their best hitters. You know, I think it's a pretty simple foundation there. And now that might be seventh, that might be eighth, it might be ninth inning. It'll kind of work itself out depending on how their lineup is constructed. So those guys are bought in, and it's been fun to see that play out. Getting Danny back obviously will help lengthen out that group. We'll even give us more to play with there. And you saw Pomeranz and guys that are throwing the ball really well. So. But for those three in particular, it's been great to see them have the success they've had together and talk about how they've been used, which has been great.
You know, I'm glad you've talked about Thielbar because he seems to be the guy that we don't talk about. It feels like we argue about who should be the closer or who should come in at what point. He's just been quietly excellent for most of the year.
Yeah, and a guy that just the best part about Caleb, he just goes about his business. He does it. He flies under the radar, which is like I think for him he loves. But he's had an amazing journey in his career. And you think about like where he was. He took time off and came back and has completely revitalized his career. And last year, you know, he didn't go the way he wanted to. And he had some like unfinished business, I think, that he wanted to take care of. And for a 38-year-old to go out and do what he's done and put up the year that he's had is pretty special. And to do that, it takes a guy who is dedicated to his mind to the game, his body to the game. He knows what he needs to do to be ready to pitch every single day. yeah, he should be talked about more, and he's had a fantastic season.
I felt like Matthew Boyd was spot on when he talked yesterday about it was ironic or maybe fitting, because so often this year he had picked up maybe the offense by pitching so well, and yesterday maybe the offense picked up him because he has maybe struggled a little bit relative to what you expect. He's out, the innings have piled up with Matthew Boyd. What needs to be done for between now and when the playoffs start, Tommy, to kind of get him back on track?
Well, I think first and foremost, just like you talked about, Kay, giving him a little bit of rest is going to be big. Just letting the body kind of reset here a little bit, trying to give these guys a little bit of extra time between starts, I think is huge. And then I think for Matt, I think Matt's at his best when he's attacking the strike zone and changing speed. So basically playing what he calls like this front to back game, where it's a lot of plate, but you're using speed differential to mess with hitters' timing. So it's like fastball, curveball, fastball, changeup, being able to use different pitches to kind of speed them up and slow them down. I think the last probably, couple of weeks, there's been more talk of like in and out, where you want to use your fastball movement in and out and up and down. And sometimes that's great, but when you don't have the command, you end up being ball one a lot of times. And I think for Matt, what he's done so well this year has been attack the strike zone, be ahead in the count, and be able to change speeds really well. So definitely getting back to a little bit of more of that for him. But I do think just giving him a little bit of time, let the body recover here, it is big. He's at 174 innings. Like I said, he's going to be at 180, by the end of this season. It's mm-hmm. a significant jump from where he's been, basically since 2019.
It's interesting because we talked to Jameson yesterday. He's a good guy, man. What a good teammate. And he talked about being willing to do any role, anything he's asked. That's kind of where he's at in his career. I think you got a lot of guys like that. I think you got a lot of buy-in, and it really reflects well on the job that you've done, Tommy.
Well, I appreciate that. I think it's just we have a lot of really good guys, and you can look up at how you want to build teams and how you want to put pitching staffs together, and you always look at their stuff, the velocity, the numbers. Numbers are everything, right? Because we see it and we believe that that's who a player is. But in reality, it's the person. It's getting to know them, what makes them tick, what's going to make them really good. And when you have that, when you have that relationship and you have that camaraderie as a group, guys are going to be willing to do whatever it takes to win. And to me, that's the ultimate example of a winning team, a team that's going to be willing to do whatever they can to help their teammates and help win games. And yeah, for me, I've just been very lucky to get to work with such great people as well as great athletes, over the last year plus.
I think there's got to be confidence in the fact that the playoffs tend to be different. Last year, I think bullpen and relief pitchers covered 52% of the innings. It's about pitching. It's about defense. And if you look at the strength of this Cub team throughout the entire season, Tommy, the strengths are pitching and defense. I think that's probably where a lot of this confidence comes from.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the way the playoffs have been. Probably the last 4 or 5 years, you start seeing more and more pitching changes. You've seen starters only go two times through the order, in some cases only one time through the order. There's a lot of different ways you can piece it together. But I do think like turning balls in play into outs is enormous. And the teams that can do that at a high clip, the teams that can get weak contact and swing and miss, and when balls are put in play, they're converted to outs, are going to usually win a lot of games. And for me, I feel like when you watch postseason games, and the things that I think winning teams do is like, you're going to get punched in the mouth. You're going to give up a run. There's going to be a big hit. There's going to be a big homer that happens. It's the teams that can rebound and lock it down from that point and not let it spiral, the ones that are going to win those games. And to me, that's been a strength of our team, and especially our bullpen, understanding that like you will give up a run at some point. You will get punched in the mouth, but you've withstood the storm all year. We're going to continue to do it in the postseason.
Tommy, thanks a ton, and congratulations again. Really fun watching
that. Congratulations. Great stuff.
Guys, thank you. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you guys soon.
Yep.
That's Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach. Great guy.
Yeah. Tremendous news.
I love that he called Justin Steele.
Yeah,
can you imagine what that feels like for him?
Yeah,
you're kind of watching this from a distance.
He goes down beginning of the season. Oh. He's not part of this, and yet he's a big part of this.
Yeah, and he's part of the future.
And he's also somebody they remembered to have the presence of mind to thank him or to let him feel like he is, like he belongs.
Great.
Yeah.
Really nice touch.
Nice gesture.
Yeah, no question.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.